He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, joined on this fine opening night, Tuesday night, by Raj Chapalu. The Lakers win their first opening night game of the LeBron James era. They beat the Minnesota Timberwolves 110-103. We're going to be talking about the game. We're going to be talking about Anthony Davis. We'll talk a little bit about LeBron and Bronny making their history. And just kind of enjoy this one, man. It's been a long time since we talked about basketball. It feels like it's been a long time since we talked about basketball that made us feel truly good, as this game does. And it's going to be a fun show. So before we get going here, a couple calls to action. Please do hit that subscribe button. If you guys are watching live here on YouTube, hit that like button. That helps us in that old Al Gore's rhythm. And then I will also ask you, if you guys are listening to this in the morning, to please hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you get your podcasts. Raj, are you currently touching the ground? Are you vibrating at such a rate that you might float through like walls and stuff? How you fall? Are you okay? Like, do we have to do it? I saw you're drinking straight whiskey right now. Is that just to calm the nerves because of how high this game, the heights that this game took you to?
Right. Yeah. No, not straight whiskey. Just want to, for the record, that's pure apple juice. So pure fruit. It's my celebratory drink on a weeknight. I'm super excited. That was so much fun. Even when Minnesota cut into the lead and I kind of felt, you know, the butterflies, I was like, this is good. Like, this is against a good team and I have confidence that we can get the win. No, that was super exciting to see all the stuff. Obviously, the preseason was very up and down and, you know, it felt like a team that was unprepared. But they came out tonight and it felt like, you know, a lot of the structure that they were talking about, I thought you saw it. I thought you saw a lot of what they were talking about in camp. Come to fruition. And yeah, this is it. Like, I didn't like them trade from Minnesota. I think Julius Randle is a very, you know, tough fit for them, to put it nicely. But that's a real legit good team that had, Anthony, they had no players on their injury report. There's no missing this guy, missing this guy. That's a healthy Minnesota
team.
They're
missing Cat. I think they missed Cat.
Yeah, Cat, I don't want to talk about that, the other game. But yeah, like that Minnesota team, that's a legit team that's, you know, going to be pushing for 50 plus wins. And the Lakers kind of controlled this game throughout. Like, Minnesota did have one or two runs in the fourth, other than just tough jump shots from Anthony. Like, those, I thought we controlled this game, man. I'm so hyped. We have 3 days until the next game. Like, I have so much time to watch and dissect, you know, this game and go back and forth. But no, that's a lot of fun. It's good to be back, and it's good to be over 500 right away, not climbing some hill. And, you know, like, you know, we can get back to 500 the next game. Like, it's so nice. It's so nice.
It like dawned on you, like, what the next four games look like. Yeah. As you said that.
Yeah.
No, I think this was a big game for the Lakers to take, because their first five to open the season were this one. They play Phoenix twice. They play Sacramento in between those two Phoenix games. And then they play Cleveland in Cleveland, where that team always gets up to play LeBron. Now, LeBron always gets up to play there, too. But, you know, sometimes you see weird things happen in those kinds of road games. And so, you know, winning this one, starting the season off this way, I thought this was their best chance at a win during this five game stretch, because of Minnesota's you know, they're on that learning curve, man. Like, you mentioned, you know, we joked about Cat, and we joked about, I think the Knicks are on that learning curve too. And, you know, my concern with Cat going to New York in the first place was that I didn't think he really meshed with their culture of like flying around defensively and really getting after it. And then, you know, you kind of saw that tonight. The Celtics were really picking on him and his kind of lazy feet defensively. They really caught him on his heels and knocked down, what was it, 29 or 30 three-pointers in that game. And then on the other side of it, and this is, by the way, like I think what I said at the time, felt like a lose-lose trade for both teams, because I don't think Cat really fits in. What made New York special last year was having five players who were like relatively undersized, but flew around all over the place. Craig played crazy defensively, you know, played 49 minutes in a 48 minute game if they needed to. And, you know, you would see how that goes. And then, you know, on the other side of it with Minnesota, I thought Minnesota had kind of tapped into something last year. And I think that, you know, going from Cat being an elite 3-point shooter at the 4 or 5 spot to Julius Randle, who was like okay for his position, is a big step back. And I thought Anthony Edwards kept driving into crowded lanes. We'll keep on going here. I do want to talk about Fernando Valenzuela here in a second, but like, I know you don't know who that guy is, but
I promise. I felt so bad. I was like, was that a Laker that I should know? Or, you know, I was about to look that up. I have Google open right here.
Like, before we get to that though, like just like in initial thoughts on the game, I think the most important takeaway here was how physical, because you trade Cat for Julius Randle. I think you give up stuff on the offensive side of the ball, but you shouldn't lose stuff in the physicality and rebounding respect. Yeah. And I thought the Lakers just kind of bullied the Wolves in this one. And if you're doing that without Vando against one of the teams that is one of the most physical teams in the NBA, like, if you're able to do that tonight, that's a pretty big development.
So I think you're going to like this. LeBron and Bronny had their post-game, you know, interview with Taylor Rooks. And his first answer when he was asked, what was the difference tonight? LeBron's like, yeah, we had a great game plan. Like, it's just funny to hear. Like, that's like his first answer right away. To me, the difference within that, Anthony, and I think the emphasis on offensive rebounding was there. You could see it all night. But Rui's start, like, they need that Rui Hachimura for 82 games. And I thought Rui's physicality on the guy that you mentioned, Julius Randle, I thought was like changed the game right away. It changed the tenor of how that game felt. Randle is the bully ball guy. In my opinion, Randle will eventually come off the bench for this Minnesota team. I just think it doesn't make sense to start him next to Gobert. I just think that fit is just leaves Ant in a telephone booth. But I thought Rui's like physicality.
McDaniel's also out there.
Right. Yeah. McDaniels can shoot, but yeah, and then DiVincenzo, who I think is a good shooter, but, you know, undersized. I thought Rui's physicality on Randle to start was awesome. And he had a three right away. He had a poster dunk right away. He had an offensive rebound. And then he had a weak side block as well. And I don't know what differences JJ is whispering versus what, you know, Ham was whispering in Rui's ear. Like, I'm not sure what the difference in words were, but you could tell, like, Rui's physicality, I thought, changed this game. And if he can be that physical guy, that really changes things. It allows LeBron to not have to be that every night. It kind of boosts AD on the offensive glass, who we'll of course talk about later, but I thought Rui's physicality was great. Austin was awesome. Anthony, we put Austin on Anthony Edwards in the fourth quarter.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE, and I'm Jimmy Uso. Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
He was the primary defender on Anthony Edwards, and I thought he did his job. Anthony Edwards was like looking to attack switches off of that. I thought his physicality showed up. D'Lo was still playing like it was a preseason game. It was a very strange, you know, D'Lo game. But I thought
until the fourth, it was the weirdest thing. Yeah, he was like, he came out there in the fourth quarter and he was like, oh shit, we're actually like playing, huh? Like,
this one counts. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Before we move on, I do really want to spend a little bit of time on this because one of the things about like my content that I've always really kind of wanted was I wanted to connect you know, Lakers fans and Dodgers fans, and I'm, it's something that, like, I, you know, Odyssey, I think, is going to empower me to be able to do here moving forward. And, you know, Dodgers fans and Rams fans and Kings fans and whatever team it is that you root for in the Southland. And, you know, tonight is a just giant loss to those of us who root for the Lakers and the Dodgers. Fernando Valenzuela, it means a lot to me personally. You see this, Raj? So he's a pitcher. And in his windup, this would terrify me if I was a batter, but in his windup, he would look straight up into the heavens before he would throw his pitch, and you know, just like completely lose sight on purpose with the strike zone. So, like, just imagine a shooter, you know, standing there at the wing, shooting a wide open three, and then like randomly looking the other direction before they shoot. He was just like, but he caught the LA market by storm, cause he is Mexican. There's a giant Mexican, component to the city out there in Los Angeles and in Southern California. And you know, he burst onto the scene as a rookie pitcher, does things that, like, we had never really seen a rookie pitcher do. Won a World Series with the Dodgers in 1981. And then, you know, because the Dodgers have a rule kind of similar to the Lakers rule, where players only get their numbers retired if they make, like, Cooperstown, if they make the Baseball Hall of Fame, his number didn't go up into the rafters up until this year. They finally corrected that. He had been apparently dealing with some real health issues here over the last year. And it made it all the more special that he did get to see himself celebrated on that day, get his number is forever enshrined. And for me, being a Mexican man, like, you know, it sometimes feels like in the sports world, we kind of get overlooked, you know, kind of like we don't really matter in like these in, you know, what it, you know, in the LA identity and the national identity and to have a Mexican have an impact on the Dodgers in the way that he did just meant a lot to my people. We just, he's all of our favorite pitchers of all time. And he was such an exciting, and, you know, he stuck with the Dodgers organization. He was their color commentator, for the, Spanish calls of these games. Just absolutely loved baseball, absolutely loved the Dodgers, absolutely loved being a representative of the Mexican community in Los Angeles. And we are seriously going to miss him. 63 years old, he passed tonight. So fucking young to lose somebody with that much spark for the world that we live in. So RIP to Nando. Gracias por todos for everything that you did for us. This is a big, big loss for all of us who really, really love the Dodgers. And then, you know, pretty simple, Dodgers, go out and fucking win it, Fernando. You know, go out in there and win this thing. Actually, ironically, when the Dodgers beat the Yankees in 1981, that was the one World Series that Fernando won. They could go out and have that full circle moment, but yeah, RIP to Fernando Valenzuela, just an absolute icon in the bat and baseball community, Dodgers community, Mexican community, all of those things. I would not feel like I was doing my job if I didn't mention him tonight.
I think I remember he had a 30 for 30 as well, if I remember that correctly. I think ESPN did some movie on him too, so. I do remember that, but that's something I have to go watch. But yeah, that's tough. 63 is way too young. That's rough.
So young. All right. So let's go ahead and segue awkwardly back to basketball talk here. And the first thing I think we have to hammer home here, Anthony Davis was incredible. Again, I mentioned this in a couple prior shows. Andy Bailey kind of combined all of the top 10 lists from, you know, all of these various platforms and stuff like that. The major platforms have put together their like top 100 or top 50, however many players list. And Anthony Davis came in at 11. The player who kept him from being in the top 10 was Anthony Edwards. And if you watch this game, not a single person watching would say like, yep, yeah, Anthony Edwards, yeah, definitely better at basketball than Anthony Davis. I still think that Anthony Davis is the most underrated player in the NBA right now. He did not receive a single vote in a poll for most versatile defenders in the NBA. Shouts to Darvin Ham for you know, allowing things to get to that point. And he just went out there and was everywhere that the Lakers needed him to be. I was blown away by the game that he had, shooting, rebounding, blocking shots, disrupting anything else defensively. What an outstanding game.
So I've said this all summer, Anthony, I don't think it's a coincidence that like this is after an Olympic run. Like, I think the Olympics were amazing for Anthony Davis. Like, he's able to come in full conditioning and in mid-season form. The jumper, the handle looks tight. I don't know, something about Gobert, him and LeBron both gave Gobert a bunch of like disrespectful looks after every single shot that they make, a bunch of like, you can't guard me faces. And something about the Gobert matchup, maybe it's the 20 DPOIs that Gobert has in his house, put all over, that gets AD going. But no, he was awesome, dominant on both ends. The three-pointer wasn't really there, but the mid-range shot, which I think is 3,000 times more important, was there. It was blocking shots, changing shots. He went to the bench, and again, it was a little bit like, can we survive just these minutes? Can we give AD a 3 to 4 minute break? But no, he was incredible. Dominated Naz Reid every single time he wanted the single coverage matchup against Gobert. Scored on him, got to the rim, got fouled, and ones, variety of shots. He had a driving one-handed floater shot that went in where, again, gave the he can't guard me look. You know, and just, I think he had like 15, 16 free throws, 36 and 15. Tied Will Chamberlain for fourth most with 15, 35, and 15 games as a Laker. Amazing. This is what like an MVP looks like. Like, forget DPOY. Like, put that to the side. This is what an MVP is like. That's like, on the back burner. Yeah.
That conversation's fun. No, I'm coming for this one.
Right. You didn't want to give me that one. Let me go get everything. No, this was what an MVP performance was tonight. Like, LeBron really got to coast through a lot of this. Had 8 points, I believe, going into the fourth.
Yeah.
Because AD really carried. If we could just hit some open shots, this would have been a blowout going the other way, going the way for the Lakers. But we couldn't. 3 for 19 from three at the half. I believe 4 for 25 from three going to the fourth. AD offensive rebounds just absolutely dominated. Again, I'm gonna keep saying this is a physical Minnesota team. Julius Randle, his effort was, you know, waxing and waning there, but like, that's a physical dude that like is accepting of the challenge. Gobert is at least 7 foot, and a, you know, good defender. Naz Reid is a 7-footer as well. Like, but they had nothing for AD. Just a monstrous start to the season. 36 and 16, I believe he finished. 4 blocks as well, which is getting like slid and under the rug there too.
I think, and look, JJ is incredibly good at the quote game.
Yeah.
Like, I think he kind of rehearses some of his quotes to make sure that he absolutely nails some of them. But I think my favorite quote from JJ this year was, or this, you know, leading up to this year, was how they are going to empower Anthony Davis to the extent that he wants to be empowered. You want to go win it, Defensive Player of the Year? All right, fine. We'll put you in position to win Defensive Player of the Year. You want to win MVP? You want to be first team All NBA? All right, fine. We'll empower you to that level too. And I thought tonight was just really put on full display what that meant, right? Because we did not see, to be completely honest, we didn't get a dress rehearsal in the preseason. Right. I didn't think we like a lot of the offensive looks that we saw from AD, like as the hub tonight, we weren't getting in the preseason either, because there was just there weren't enough reps to go around in those few minutes that those main rotation players were playing last year. In tonight's game, I thought he was the hub in some stretches. He spent equal time, I thought, as the hammer or the nail, depending on what the Lakers needed there. Just an absolute fucking Sharknado defensively on the other end of it, where sometimes like there was he had the my two favorite highlights from AD tonight. We had that block on Gobert at the rim, and then screamed at the crowd. Also very vocal tonight, I thought too. Getting right in Anthony. By the way, like to make Anthony Edwards kind of go like, you know, kind of like, whoa, you know, because he had that and one, and then Ant kind of chirped back at him, and then AD chirps back at Ant, like, no,
yeah,
and one, you know, right, it was like, it was my favorite moments, I thought, of you know, non-basketball moment of the game, where he was like, no, I'm not backing down, you'll back down, and Ant kind of walks the other direction. To get Anthony Edwards to shut up is like, honestly, he deserves an award in and of itself. I was just so impressed by that Anthony Davis game. And like, this is the kind of game that he'll have against smaller front courts. You know, right. he'll sometimes kind of feast on an undersized, you know, I don't know, who's a smaller front court.
Like OKC, he would like really do well against
the OKC. Like pre-Hartenstein OKC, like he would play really well against them. And then kind of struggle sometimes, you know, with the physicality that Minnesota can offer. Though, like you said, he does kind of get up for Gobert games. This was incredible to watch. This was and again, like, this is one of the things that I wrote for Clutch Points. Everything is mixed in together. I wrote that, like, if Anthony Davis is empowered to this level and is actually better this year than he was last year, and LeBron holds serve and is as good as he was last year, then the Lakers' floor and ceiling go up, right? You combine that with J.J. Redick being better than Darvin Ham, which I think we can say coming off of one game to the extent that we can, I think is true. Like that was a special performance from Anthony Davis. It's the kind of thing that like we is not normal. You don't see that kind of shit from players very often on both ends of the court.
Right. And it's just one game, but I think some trends that like you can just tell from this one. I don't remember a point where I was like, man, get AD the ball. Right. It's like AD has 15 or something. Like, I don't remember one point where like they got to get AD the ball. Everything was running through him. A lot of stuff I feel like JJ kept in the pocket to like release tonight. Some of the stuff I did not see in preseason at all. All those inverted screens. They had AD at the high post. They had him at the low post, depending on who was guarding him. A lot of variety in his offensive attacks. He was dribbling it up the court a lot of times where he was a screener or he was getting screened for. Just a lot of variety where like you can take advantage of his ball handling. And again, like if you put the volume up, I posted the like Gobert can't guard me. And then obviously the, you know, portion of Twitter posted like what AD's shooting. I don't care what AD's shooting, man. If he had 7 of 20 or whatever he was dominating that ball game. I like the volume of shots he was getting up. I think he only took like 2 to 3 threes. I don't remember the exact amount, but the mid-range pull-ups, the confidence with the ball handling, the getting, you know, accepting of contact, getting to the free throw line above double digits, like that's when he's at his best. It looks like JJ's just in the team's ear, just get AD the ball, get AD the ball here, get him at the top of the key. Felt very much like an AD run offense. I was wondering what that would look like. And I thought you saw a lot of that. That's like an offense, Anthony, where like Austin can be the point guard, right? Because it's not a lot of pounding the rock into the floor. It's kind of like we're going to work off our talented big man. A lot of back cuts. AD, I believe, had 3 or 4 assists as well to like cutters off the baseline. This was an just incredible, incredible performance to start the year. He looks ready. Like, AD looks freaking ready to go.
He looks thinner. Like he looks, at the very least, he looks more explosive. You know, he's more willing to get downhill. Like, I don't know. I've thought the last couple of years, especially, you know, the last couple of years, I've thought that like with the focus of playing so much center, it was just like, all right, I have to swell up. I have to get ready to body with these guys in the post as much as I can. And I thought that kind of took away from what makes Anthony Davis special. You know, when AD, like peak AD is too quick laterally and vertically for bigs, for centers, and too big for fours. like that combination. And right. And I thought tonight was just like such a perfect, he was bringing the ball up the court. Like he was like the safety valve there. You mentioned that like the two or three threes that he took looked super confident taking those. I think he made up for like half of the Lakers threes that they made tonight.
Yeah, like him and Dalton.
it was just incredible performance for him. And by the way, like a great tone setter, right?
Yeah.
This is a season where like, all right,
we're serious.
How long have we been waiting for Anthony Davis to take over the reins from LeBron and for LeBron to be able to kind of coast through this one and enjoy the history that he made with his son. And then, you know, for AD to kind of take care of like, you know, the basketball here, like such an important game, I think, for the tone of what this season should be.
Right. And like, this is not LeBron's fault. It's not AD's fault. It just felt like to me the last few years, AD was kind of aging with LeBron in a strange way. It was kind of like LeBron's the old guy. And then AD was also kind of acting.
He was like adding age.
Yeah.
adding years. LeBron's approaching age 39 and what, how did AD jump up to 35?
Right. But I truly think, and this is, we've seen this with a ton of players, even like below AD's caliber, but guys who practicing with Anthony Edwards, I'm sure every day, like, you know, makes you feel younger. Practicing with, you know, doesn't make you younger, but practicing with KD or all the guys on the Olympic team, like having that competition all summer, then you walk in and like you're in better shape. You have to be better from that. Like, I don't think that's a coincidence that he started like this with, you know, coming off an Olympics run where he was key and vital to their team. No, he looks in shape. Like, he just looks great. Looks like an MVP candidate. Lakers going to need it. I still have so many defensive concerns when he's not on the floor. I think we're going to have to experiment a lot, like trying to find what works with that. But no, they were dominant when he was on the court. I got to look at his plus minus, because I think the only Minnesota run really came when he was off the floor. It felt like they dominated all the minutes that he played. So just incredible game from AD.
The, you know, kind of perfect segue off of that is how big the Lakers felt in this one. I think two main differentiating factors here. I think Gabe played bigger than he is in this game. Finally, like that's, he needs to, because he's not a big guy. So when you compare the way that he kind of plays to the way that D'Lo plays, and sometimes Austin also was very effective physically in this one.
Oh yeah.
I still don't love his shot selection in JJ's system. Seems like he's getting shots up for the sake of getting shots, specifically threes up for the sake of getting them up. But I thought tonight defensively and in the rebound game was really good. You know, the difference of, you know, the Lakers go to the bench and the guys coming off of it are Max Christie and Dalton Knecht. Whereas like last year it was, or the last few years, it was like this clown car of combo guards, you know?
Yeah.
That I think makes a big difference. But even having said everything that we said about Anthony Davis, I think this is the spot where we have to give Rui his flowers, because I thought he was the, like, you talk about the difference of in physicality from the Lakers last year to this year. I don't know what conversation or communication breakdown took place between him and Ham last year that JJ has rebuilt that bridge to an extent to where like Rui was the kind of small things player that we have been begging him to become. And he knocked down a couple shots too, but I thought he was the kind of physically imposing guy that he needs to be if he's going to work in that starting five.
He looked way more defined and understanding of his role.
Yeah.
Like, there was a lot, there was not very much, like there was a lot last year. It was like, where's Rui going? Like, what is that? Shot over three people. You know, we try to clear a side for him and he dribbles into five guys and trying to get a fall. I thought he like really understood his role last year too. I think as a baseline cutter, he really improved, but a lot of places where he was cutting to open areas, right, and getting to that mid range shot instead of just back down, fade away. You know, that physicality was there. We need to see it when the offense doesn't kickstart it, right? I thought, again, tonight he hit a three right away, had a baseline dunk. I thought that really, like, juiced him up. And then I thought that, you know, kept him going the whole game as like a rebounder, as a physical guy. Randall is also like the perfect guy for him to guard. Like, it's just, it's like the exact archetype that he is, just the physical bruising four. But Rui's super important. And I think, like, you get behind AD, it's like Jackson Hayes, and like your backup fours need to be physical, need to be half rim protectors, need to be able to switch on the perimeter. And I thought Rui did a nice job of that. Anthony Edwards was trying to hunt him. Like, when he had, it was funny, Anthony Edwards was trying to get Austin off of him. Like, it's a real sentence that was happening in the fourth quarter. But he was calling up Rui for the screens. And I thought Rui did a nice job, stayed down, put his hands up, contested. Yeah, JJ's found something. Again, it's early. We'll see, you know, how this works going on. I'm still worried about our perimeter defense and Rui's foot speed as, you know, other teams come in, especially on Friday with the Suns, who have a lot of movement shooters. And that are really, it's tougher to kind of lock into the paint. But no, Rui was super physical, got his rebounds, got block shots as well. And just the combination of him with LeBron and AD just as a physical trio is a place where you can kind of get away with smaller guards. I didn't really notice Gabe was out there for that long. Like, I think that's a good thing and a bad thing. Yeah. I guess, like, you know, I think offensively he was extremely quiet.
He's your fifth guard, so like you shouldn't notice him too much.
You know? Yeah. I would like him to take a few more shots. I felt like he was very passive, just not confident in his offense. But no, Rui was great. I think Rui's super important to that second unit, especially. They're trying to kind of put as much size out there as they can when AD's sitting. And we got a lot of Rui, LeBron minutes out there with Hayes, actually, as well, which I thought was an interesting combination. But no, great start for Rui, too, to start the year. Good to see him, like, have confidence early on. Last year, he started really cold and, like, broke his nose. Then was coming off the bench when he thought he was starting, like a lot of like weird roles for him. So he looks very confident and has a defined role with this team.